Okay, it's 3 o'clock, so I'm going to go ahead and get started. Rochelle's trying to get Kent Faison on the line. I guess we're maybe filling up our lines. We hope everyone else will have their phone muted. We're going to be having a discussion with Dottie from the SBA. Dottie Overall has been magnificent as a state SBA director, and then Kent Faison from Bank First, who's head of one of the directors of their 7A lending. First, I just wanted to start off. Oklahoma Farm Bureau has been working hard ever since the CARES package has been coming together by our senators and congressmen to be involved to make sure that agriculture is in the mix as we're trying to figure out how to keep our economy operating and to save jobs in our economy. And most of the time, we're not used to the SBA being deeply involved in agricultural matters. But in this particular CARES Act, there's a number of important ways that Congress has involved SBA to add the farmers and ranchers and Main Street businesses and agricultural operations to their to the usual SBA mix. And so we're going to spend a good part of the call today on the PPP, Paycheck Protection Act. But I wanted to start off with maybe letting Dottie give a little bit of overview of some other programs SBA has that could be helpful to all of our businesses as we're trying to figure out how to survive these trying and challenging times. And, you know, often when we hear about government grants or forgivable loans or low-cost loans, a lot of times those have been scams or things that you have to watch for or pay big fees to get involved on. The ones we're going to talk about today, these are real programs that Congress has just approved or expanded. And so this is real information that we're trying to give you today that we hope will be helpful in your farm or ranch business. We are going to have you, if you have questions, let me give a number. This is Steve Thompson, head of our public policy, is going to be collecting questions to forward to me that we can ask as the program goes along. If you have questions you want to have asked, if you would pass those on to 405-630-5644. That's 630-5644 for your questions, and Steve will be collating those and getting those in front of me. But without further ado, let me move to our first guest, and that's Dottie Overall. I mentioned earlier what a pleasure it's been to work with Dottie and her role at SBA before all this was going on. Well, she's been playing a big role in a dream we have of trying to get a rural venture fund going here in Oklahoma to help inspire more entrepreneurship and new startups in rural Oklahoma. And Dottie's been a key part of that. And so she has really stepped up to the plate as the role of SBA has been expanded in this CARES Act. And so, Dottie, if I can ask you to maybe talk a little bit about the economic injury disaster loans and the other programs SBA has before we move on to the Payroll Protection Act, because some of the other SBA programs may be a good match for some of the farms and ranches and businesses that are on the call today.
Sure. Okay, can you hear me, Rod?
You sound great, Dottie.
Okay, super. Okay, so the Economic Injury Loan Program is a traditional SBA disaster loan program that helps businesses recover after a disaster, and it helps them from the economic side, not the physical side. So this program is available for the coronavirus situation, but it is not extended to agricultural operations with the exception of some co-ops and aquaculture. So I guess our rule is that if you feed it or water it, it's not eligible for the economic injury loan. But the reason I wanted to bring it up, you may have a side business if you are in agriculture. Maybe as an example, you have a horse, you raise horses, but then you have a side business where people can come and ride horses. You rent them out for people to ride. Or if you have a cattle operation and you take a portion of your cattle slaughter and then sell them in a butcher shop that you own, that would be eligible for this economic injury loan. I don't know, does anybody out there have an interest in that? I could go into a little bit more. Okay, if perchance you know of anybody or you think later that you may have an interest, you can go to the SBA website. That's sba.gov coronavirus, and that application is online. There is a $10,000 amount that they'll get out to you right away, and there's no security on that one, and that will not have to be repaid. So the purpose of that is for your fixed expenses, but primarily paychecks for your employees. So, Rod, that's that in a nutshell. So I think really the person they're going to want to hear from is Kent Statham with the Payroll Protection Program loan, which is a bank guarantee program. While we're waiting for Rod, if you a question came up on the economic injury loans for churches. Churches are not eligible for that program, with the exception of the non-secular part. So if you belong to a church that has maybe a coffee shop or a daycare, or they have a soup kitchen or a homeless program, that portion would be eligible under the economic injury loan. And I just share that with you in case you know someone that might need that information.
Well, while we're mentioning churches for a minute, there's as we transition over to the Payroll Protection Act, it's our understanding that there's going to be a directive from the SBA National Office yet this afternoon about churches' eligibility for the Payroll Protection Act. And since many of our farmers and ranchers and business folks that are on the line are also deeply involved in their church, that's one of the questions that's still kind of being solved, I think, isn't it, Dottie? And we're expecting direction before the day is out on that.
Yeah. We're hoping it will come out. I know that the congressional offices are working very hard on that one.
Yes, Rod, are you, Steve? No, this is Kent. Are you, am I?
Kent. You're on.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, good. I was trying to get on. I couldn't figure out exactly what was going on there.
Yeah. We've got so many people on the line. It's been hard for folks to get in. But let me welcome Kent Faison from Bank First. Has been the largest 7A lender in the state for many years, and Kent was actually involved in SBA lending even before his Bank First days, and so he has a long history with all the different SBA programs, and so we're delighted to have Kent here to share a little bit of the banker's input as for most of the applicants. Today is the first day they can start to apply, whether it's through Bank First or whatever your local bank is across the state. But Kent, maybe if I can let you start with a general part of it, and then we'll just get into discussion between you and I and Dottie on what some of the questions are that are out there.
Sure. No, not a problem, Rod. Thank you for letting me try to shed a little light on what's going on. To give you an update, believe it or not, Bank First has had loans approved through SBA on PPP today. So it can be done, and it has been done by Bank First. And
Kent, just as a sidebar on that, the SBA just sent me a note that they just have passed $1 billion in approvals.
Yeah.
$1 billion in approval in the last hour. So,
well, it's at least from our standpoint of view, it's a little bit daunting. I don't know if many of you know, but the actual application form that we were to use changed overnight. And so the forms that we'd had some of our borrowers being prepared to sign and get that application running, we had to send those applications back out to them to get them signed again because of the new changes that actually took place, I mean, literally in the middle of the night last night. And so we were up and running early. I think the first one that we got approved was about 7:30 a.m. this morning. And let me just tell you, a lot of activity, a lot of interest, and we understand totally the position that most people are in. Pretty much like the churches, there was some question for farmers and ranchers. We have been told by Senator Lankford's office that farmers and ranchers are totally eligible for this program. And so we're prepared to move forward with applications, as I think all the other banks that are participating in the program will be. In a nutshell, this program will provide a loan of 2.5 times your average monthly payroll. Okay. Payroll is a sort of a nebulous definition. If you're looking at the SBA right now, it says payroll is compensation to employees, salaries, wages, commissions, or similar, tips or equivalent, payments that you make for vacation, parental, family, or medical or sick leave, payments required for group health benefits, all those types of things. But then it says, and for sole proprietors and independent contractors, the sum of payments or any compensation to be income is that wage, commission, income, net earnings, or self-employment, or similar compensation that is in amount not to exceed more than $100,000 per year. So.
Let's back up for just a second there, Kent. So basically, somebody would add up, they would add up their payroll for the 12 months, like from of last calendar year or from like
last calendar
March
year
to
for 2019.
Okay. So you'd add up your total payroll plus your health care cost and your retirement cost if you have those things.
Yep.
And then divide by 12.
12.
And then take that times 2.5, and that's essentially
that's
what
amount
you can borrow for.
That's
and the
correct.
Reason for the two, the reason for the 2.5 is because that's also accommodating when you go to figure out how much gets forgiven. It's the payroll plus some overhead.
Yeah.
That 0.5 is to cover some overhead expenses, so to speak.
Yeah, so here's what has taken place again yesterday and today. The program is set up that you will be forgiven the amount of payroll, rent, interest on debt payments, and utilities that you pay for an 8-week period, okay? That number, out of that number, 75% of that needs to go to payroll, okay? Your head count in employees needs to be equal to what it is or what it was on February the 15th. So basically, they want you to get your head count back up to what it was, and they want you to use 75%, at least 75% of your loan must go to payroll-related expenses. The remaining portion of that can be pursed out, like I said, to either rent or utilities or interest on fixed debt obligations. So in most of the instances where I've been looking at, we're looking at these as probably 90-day notes. So we will make that loan, and then your clock starts ticking for the 8-week period. At the end of that 8 weeks, you are going to give us documentation and certify to us that you use those funds for the appropriate requirements. And then at that point, we will take that information, we send it to the SBA. The SBA will send us a check for those dollars. We apply it to your loan, and you're done. Okay? If in case you did not use all of your money that way, let's just say you used 75% of it for payroll, and you kept that other 25%, that other 25% will be put on at that time a 18-month note at 1% to be paid out. And the reason it says in the language 24 months, but the first 6 months of that note, the principal and interest payments are deferred. So your first payment would be 7 months after the note, and you would have 18 months to have it paid in full.
So that's basically the
program.
And the interest rate, if it's not totally forgiven, the interest rate is set at 1%, I think.
That's correct.
To the
yeah.
data.
Yeah, and, 1%.
And, but the ideal, I mean, most people are probably planning to, the most you can borrow on this is 2.5 times your average payroll from last year.
That's correct.
So, and then you can get forgiven under the parameters that you just gave. And so you probably either are going to be 100% forgiven or just a very small amount to either pay or carry into the carry-on
and,
note.
And Rod, quite honestly, most of the time when I've done calculations for people on businesses, they're definitely going to be paid off, and their desire is to not have any debt, have everything forgiven within that period of time. That's why I'm saying we'll probably have you completely done and finished in 90 days. And quite honestly, the SBA is going to pay your interest during that period. So there's really nothing to you to do this. So the other parts of these that are very attractive, these are unsecured and non-recourse. There are no personal guarantees required.
The other thing is they're not dependent on they're dependent on creating and having the jobs, not on creditworthiness. So you don't go through the usual usual schedule of the creditworthiness of the borrower that you would normally.
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, the only time that we're getting tax returns or a financial statement is for a sole proprietorship or somebody who has to, you know, rely on something other than salaries, tips, and wages that they're paying themselves. So if it's a Schedule C type business, or in this particular case, a Schedule F type business, we're going to take those and we'll have to use those if we don't have the salaries and tips and wages to make it work for you. But we just have to get them and verify, because all we're looking for is payroll amounts. We're not trying to do cash flow analysis or that type of thing.
Kent, your bank is choosing to do the 90 days and then a follow-up 18-month note. But the way the rules are, if somebody's dealing with another bank, they might start them off on a two-year note right from the beginning. That could vary by bank on how they want to do that.
Yeah, most of the ones that I've read, Rod, said that you need to give them a 6-month upfront with the possibility of another 6 months.
Okay.
So we just decided in this particular case, since we're hoping for most of these to be 90-day notes, let's just set it up on a 6-month. That way you're not really having to worry about anything.
I was just pointing that out because it could vary a little bit if they're dealing with a bank other than Bank First. The length of the interest rate is set by the rules, the 1%.
Yes, it is.
The length of the loan can be a maximum of 2 years.
That's correct.
So some banks may set you up on a 6 month, some on a 1 year, some on a not over 2 years is the deal. Let's talk a little bit about banks, because I know we even have several other banks listening in on the phone today. It's my understanding with Dottie here too, we can confirm this. If somebody's already an established 7A lender and already is set up that way with the SBA, they can be getting loans approved even today and tomorrow and so forth. But any bank or any credit union, and even the legislation expanded to even where farm credit organizations, if they choose to get involved, any of those financial institutions can do these PPP loans, we're calling them, or PPP loans. But they may have a time delay before their bank has to go through a process with Dottie and the SBA to get set up, I think. So, Dottie, could you say about how long that might take for, if their local bank in Hobart, Oklahoma, or Shawnee, or wherever, has not previously been a 7A lender, how quickly are they likely to be able to get set up to do this?
Okay, I cannot give you a timeline. We're going to work as quick as possible. Just as we were speaking, I got the website. So if a lender needs the website to sign up to be in the SBA program, I have the website available for them. But as to the time, we're going to work as quickly as we can, Rod, but I really can't give you a time frame on that. But Kent, you may want to go into the electronic process. Was it pretty complicated for, because we do have a few lenders on the phone, is it a complicated process?
Well, Dottie, I may not be the best person to ask, you know, because simply our auditing department doesn't let me do anything, but I have folks that do that for me. And this morning, it took us about 5 minutes to download the application and get it approved.
Wow, that's pretty quick.
So now, our biggest concern, quite honestly, is the system going to be overwhelmed? You know, because early on in the disaster program, the system kept crashing, that kind of thing. We don't know. I know that SBA has brought on some very serious partners, and so I'm hopeful that won't happen. But You're right, Rod. Anybody can do it. I've been on calls with folks, other bankers today, trying to help them walk through the system. It's a little bit different for us because we use this system every day. So it is easier for us to get some of this done, but other people can in fact do it and are trying to do it right now.
Here's a couple questions from bankers while we're on this deal. It says, is a lending form the only document that's needed for approval? And I'll throw that open to either Dottie or Kent. Is that lender form that came out last night that's on the internet? Is that the only form they need to fill out as the borrower?
Quite honestly, through the ETRAN system, you're not submitting anything to SBA at all, other than electronically. So they have an electronic portal that is specifically for PPP, and we go in there and load that in. From a banker's perspective, there is a document that you're going to have to retain in your file. It is the SBA form 2484. That's the lender's form, and the 2483 is the borrower's form. So the borrower fills out a form. That's where it's going to ask, name. That was a form that they changed in the middle of the
night. Last night, yeah.
And it is substantially easier than the previous format. They also changed the lender's form, the 2480 form. We got that about 10:30 this morning, and it has changed from yesterday, and it's substantially easier to come up with. So basically, those are the forms that you're going to need. From a banker's perspective, what you need to remember is these are not exempt from beneficial ownership requirements. So this is a new credit. You're going to have to get beneficial ownership done. And if this is a non-bank customer, you're probably going to have to go through the CIP process, customer identification program. That those are not exempted from this program, and you'll have to deal with those too. So those are the things that we're doing right now. So from a closing standpoint of view, I'm asking those borrowers, there's specific documents that you're going to have so that you can verify that those payroll numbers are correct. Most of it that we're getting now are payroll tax returns for the last 4 quarters. We're getting, in some instances, if somebody uses a payroll company, we're using the payroll company's ledgers and those types of things to verify. But again, those we hold in our file, and just we have to make certifications to the SBA using that ETRAN system, and then we'll move forward from there.
The goal of this program is to keep people hired or get people hired back if they've been laid off. It's to try to bring stability to the economy and keep things operating. So it basically, as long as the business is doing legal activities, I want to mention this because now that we have some marijuana operations in our state that may be legal in our state, but it's my understanding because it's still illegal federally that dispensaries or an operation that's just a marijuana grower, or certainly other activities that are not legal, like houses of prostitution or things like anything that's not legal cannot qualify. But other than that, pretty much anybody that has payroll and is under 500 employees is eligible for the program for the most part. Is that correct?
It is correct. And the problem that we're having, just from a logistical standpoint of view, basically it says that the rules of the standard, the SBA standard, SBA form, or SBA SOP 5010, which I think it's K now, they would pertain. So things that we're getting trouble with, like churches, and this is just as an example, it says that 501c3s are eligible. But in the SOP, it says that religious organizations are not eligible. And so the SBA specifically did not, or when they wrote the legislation, they did not specifically say, with the exception of churches or whatever, they did not put an exception in it, and that's what we're trying to get done. Same thing works with Indian tribes. Indian tribes are eligible, but in the standard world of SBA, casinos are not eligible. So can I make, the way I'm looking at it now, unless we get other direction, I can make a loan for a tribe that has a truck stop or convenience store, but I can't make a loan for the employees of a casino because gambling is not legal under federal guidelines. So those are the little nuances that we're still waiting on some clarification from Washington on.
A couple of questions that are coming in is somebody's asking, is this income taxable if their business applies, and does the 2.5 times the monthly payroll,
right,
7A loan, is the income they get off of that taxable on this year's tax returns?
The debt forgiveness is not taxable. So there is no tax consequences on this transaction. That has been specifically waived.
That, again, is part of the effort to try to get that money back in the economy.
Yes.
Dottie, did you have something you were going to say on that?
No, that's good, because in earlier disasters when we had a forgiveness, it was taxable income. So that's good news.
Okay. Another question that's coming in is, can a business apply for both the Payroll Protection Act and the Emergency Loan Program? And then this particular questioner is saying at this time they have two local banks in Harmon County that have a different understanding. One is saying that you can't apply for both as long as you're not using the payroll on the emergency loan program, and the other is saying that they can only do one of the two programs.
My opinion on this one is that yes, you can do both. And the reason I say that is there is a provision in the PPP program that you can, if you use that for payroll, you can increase your actual loan amount by the amount of your, a portion of your $10,000 of your disaster loan. One of the things they did change with the disaster program is there is now a $10,000 grant. The first $10,000 will be granted to you out of that program.
Yes, and I will.
Go ahead, Dottie.
When you apply for that, I'm sorry, it fits right in here. If you apply for that $10,000, even if the loan is rejected, you get to keep that $10,000.
So my response, Rod, would be everybody needs to apply.
Okay.
That's right.
The next question is, where do we find the application for the emergency loan program? I did the online questionnaire and got an application number, but it says that then they kind of got lost. So they're wanting to know how do they find an application. Do they need to go to their banker for the emergency loan program, or is that something they do online?
Disaster loans go online, and the payroll protection loans go through the bank.
Okay, and if you applied for the economic injury loan prior to the 30th of March, you will have to fill out a second application, because when we added this other feature, the advanced portion, the new computer program couldn't pick it up. So if you applied the 30th or before that, you need to fill out that second disaster application. But if you were in the queue, you should have gotten an email to tell you to do that.
So just to summarize on that, because that's an important distinction, for the Payroll Protection Act, they need to go to their bank or credit union or Farm Credit, or call them on the phone. They need to make personal contact with their banker or credit union for that one. For the emergency loan program, they can start out online on that one.
Yeah, and Rod, I would tell you that you may want to check their bank's web pages. So, like for Bank First, we have all of that information on our website, with the ability to download all the documents and actually upload documents once the application is completed.
Next question was, in the past, all emergency loans required that you have to be a federally designated disaster area to apply. Does that mean that all the U.S. is now a disaster area? So what's the reasoning for why all businesses can apply now?
The whole country, as all 50 states and territories and the District of Columbia, have been declared.
Okay. So everybody, no matter where they're at in Oklahoma or where they're at in the country, is eligible for every employer with payroll is eligible to apply for the PPP as long as they're doing legal business. And every firm is also eligible to look at the emergency loan program, whether that applies to them.
That's correct.
Okay. In agriculture, one of the issues is a lot of farms use H-2A workers that come in from out of town or from out of country or brought in from out of country to help with harvesting their crops or working the stockyards or whatever. Our H-2A workers, do they count towards the farm's payroll cost?
Well, you're going to have to educate the city boy on what H-2A is, because if it is, the only way I can, I'm guessing this is going to go, Rod, is if they are 1099, something like that, as an independent contractor, they would not count on your payroll.
Okay. And a lot of them are on the payroll, actually on the payroll, but for 10 months. I'm not sure it does, because there's some language in those final rules, Kent, that says only applies to workers that are. That's a gray area I wasn't sure about. I'm not trying to do a trick question.
But, No. Yeah. I think I know what you're saying, Rod. There's a certification from here, yeah.
Yeah, there's a deal about workers from outside the country. So that's one we're still trying to get clarification on. I just didn't know if you'd heard any clarity on that yet. Have you heard any clarity on that, Dottie?
I have not.
Okay. That's one thing that can really affect the payrolls on a number of our farms and ranches is how that's interpreted.
I'm trying to run through your rule real quick to see if I can find anything for you. So
another, I'm into some trickier questions here. The other one's earlier where there was concern whether there were going to be revenue eligibility questions for ag and or just the employment numbers. And it seems like with the final rules that came out last night, it looks to me like it only is going to be the employment numbers that count. So as long as you have at least one employee and not over 500 employees. But the revenue, whether you're a wheat producer, there have been an NAICS code that allowed so many dollars of gross sales, but it looks like all those dollar levels are not a part of the PPP program. It's only the number of employees. Is that how you understand
it correct.
As well?
Yep, that's how we've been led to believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that simplifies it, because SBA hasn't done a lot of ag lending, so they had crazy low numbers on their NAICS code. So that's a big deal for farms and ranches that it's going by the count of employees rather than the dollar levels. The next one, you've kind of answered on the 1099. I've got two or three questions here about our employees hired via a farm labor contractor that are paid by a 1099. Do they count towards the employee count? And I think you've already answered that, but we might just reestablish that.
That the documents I have says no, they are not, but those 1099 workers are in fact eligible.
So
as a contractor, they are eligible to apply themselves.
So to give some idea to this contractor, many farms and ranches may have somebody that comes and harvests, they're a contract harvester or a contract electrician or plumber that does things around the farm or fence builder. Those they can't be included on the farm or ranches report, but that contract harvester can go and apply on their own behalf.
That's correct.
Is what you're saying.
Okay. Yes.
The question about in some of the early stuff, there's a lot of discussion about the rents and so forth. But the way the final rules have come out, that 0.5, it looks like rent or the interest on mortgage loans. If you own your own property but have a mortgage, the interest on that mortgage loan is what can be used to count for that other 0.5 or the 25% of the when you're going in to get the loan forgiven. Is that
correct?
Okay.
Yep, that's how I see it too.
Yep.
I've got more questions, Kent, but you've been on the front lines hearing this. I was going to say, are there other questions you've had people raise that you think we need to make clear to the several hundred people we have aboard that are listening?
You know, Rod, you've hit most of them. Some of them probably would not be specific to this audience, but I mean, it has to deal with, I've got three businesses. Can I apply for all three? Those type of things. Our reading is yes, you can. You can't, you know, you can't consolidate them. You have to do it three different times.
Let's just key on that, because a lot of farms and ranches have multiple operations. So each operation that has payroll of some type would apply for that separate operation. So so you might have a crop production. You might have a legal entity that's growing the crops on a farm, and another one that has a stockyard for feeding out the cattle, and another one that maybe is doing custom harvesting. If they're legally organized as one entity and the payroll is one entity, you'd file as one. But if they were legally organized as three entities, you'd do three for each of those entities.
Yes.
Okay. Another question where you're thinking, I've had people ask, well, can I file and then I think of some more payroll I had and another special project that I didn't turn in, can I go back in and file a second one? The rules, the rules say you can only file once for each entity.
File for one. Yeah, that's what I was fixing to say. Yeah. I believe that's what the rule actually says.
Yeah. Dottie, well, Kent's thinking of other questions. What other questions have you had come up that you can think of we ought to address?
I can't think of anything right now. I think you've hit on all the highlights. So, yes, and your listening audience can certainly call the SBA. I will give you my number, and I can refer to the right person in my office. And that's just general direction. The economic injury loan has its own phone number, and then the other questions we would probably end up asking you to contact your banker. But for just general direction, they can call my number, which is 405-420-1727.
Wow, the director has given you her own number. That's pretty cool.
Well, only you're all friends out there. now you're friends. Actually, I will probably be giving you a stock answer, and you can actually text that number also. Once I see your question, I might say, hey, just go to this number, or go. This one has to be answered by your bank.
Okay. I got it. A couple other questions have come in as the texts keep coming. We have a farmer who also has a real estate business selling other farms and so forth, and he's asking, can his real estate commissions count towards payroll numbers? Towards the dollars?
I believe it does.
Okay.
It does. Yes.
Another one is saying a customer has dramatically expanded their business by acquiring a lot more land and a bigger farm since the beginning of 2020. Can the payroll numbers be based off of the January 1st, 20 to 3/31/20 instead of the prior year because of being a dramatically bigger operation now than they were during the preceding year?
My understanding is no, that if you've been in business for longer than 1 year, you have to use the 2019 numbers.
Okay. Here's a couple more questions from banks. So I'll see which one of you can answer, because we all want to make sure the banks understand so they can get the money out there. The banker's asking, how do we know when the request is approved from their standpoint? If they take the application and turn it into the portal, how do they know when it's approved that they can go ahead and release funding to the borrower?
Okay, that's pretty easy. So basically, you get on the eTrans system, you put all this documentation in, you fill out the form online that's really coming from the forms that you've had the borrower fill out. I mean, it's names and tax ID numbers and what the use of proceeds is going to be and how are you going to split this out. And I would tell you, I'm digressing, Rod, that to me has been the biggest confusion from everybody, because the SBA portal makes us give a specific use of proceeds. So we're going to take payroll times 75%, and we know that that has to be part of it, but then I've got to parse out that other 25% between rent or interest payments or utilities to make it match the total loan amount. That's the hardest part, but you do all of that, you push the button, and typically in about 3 or 4 minutes, SBA sends you back an acknowledgement that includes the SBA loan number on it. So once you get that loan number, your loan has been approved at the SBA and you are authorized to disperse on that transaction.
Okay. And then they're asking, can they use their own loan documents once the application is approved through the SBA for the borrower to sign at the bank, or do they need to use some special SBA form?
You can use your own bank docs. I personally don't recommend it because the SBA requires that you have specific language that is in their typical form, note form, form 147. If you use the SBA note, you know it has all the language in it. If you don't, you've got to find that language and put it into your note. Just in worst case scenarios, if you had to go to the SBA to honor their guarantee, you want that to be theirs. Quite honestly, since there is no collateral on this loan, there's no personal guarantees on this loan. Basically, what we're having, there's a note and a borrowing resolution. And then I've got to have the beneficial owner form, and if they're not a customer, the customer identification information, that's it. So there's not a whole lot of documents to be done. And I will tell you, Rod, just for us, everybody that comes to Bank First gets the exact same thing. They're all going to be, you know, 1%. It's going to be 24 months. We're going to defer the first six months of this deal. And then you're going to have 18 months to pay this out, and we'll put a payment in there depending upon your loan amount. Because to do the volume that I think we're going to have to do, it's going to take pretty much as much streamlining as we can be. To give you an idea of the magnitude of what we think this is going to be, you know, we do a lot of SBA loans. And we'll do, on a good month, 12 to 15 SBA loans, which is really good in the state of Oklahoma. We're anticipating doing somewhere in the 150 to 175 a day range. Okay. So everything needs to be pretty slick.
when you think of, there's 80 something thousand employers with payroll in Oklahoma, not including farms and ranches and nonprofits, there's well over, you know, none of us know exactly what the pool is of eligible firms even, but
right.
But it's way over 100,000 that could apply through a bank or credit union for this. Last banker question, and I'll move to some other farm questions. Once funding is secured, how long do we have to prepare the loan documents and actually fund the loan to the small business or farm or ranch?
There's nothing in there that says when. I'm going to have to double check that one. The program is supposed to end on June 30 of this year. So I don't know what happens. Typically, you get a 12-month period on most SBA loans to advance, but I think this one has been shortened, that you need to advance by June 30 because it's trying to get the money to the borrower as quick as you can. Rod, the one thing that I've had asked me a couple of times is, so can I get approved today, okay? Because I want to make sure I get my money. I want to be approved today, but I don't want to close this loan and fund it until the first part of May, because that'll give me 8 weeks from the first part of May when I'm planning on hiring all my folks back. Okay?
That's a good question. What's the answer?
We believe that the 8-week time clock starts on the date of funding, not on the date that you get your approval.
And that kind of matches with how I read the application. Is that your understanding too, Dottie?
I don't really have an understanding on that one at all.
Okay.
I haven't
okay.
on it.
Well, I just had that several different times because they're trying to match it up with what they anticipate hiring employees back.
Okay. Here's one along that same lines. I've got three or four people that are texting in. I was told that the money available for the PPP loan will be used up in 24 to 48 hours if I haven't got my application. Is the program funded well enough to handle the amount of applications? First of all, $349 billion, that's billion dollars, surely is going to last a lot longer than 24 to 48 hours, don't you?
I hate to tell people. I would tell you that the National Association of Government Guaranteed Lenders, the lobbying group or the technical, trade group for all the SBA lenders, believes that there's about a 3-week window. Now, I will tell you that both Lankford's office, Kendra Horn's office, everybody is saying if this runs out and there is still a demand, that there will be additional appropriations. Now, whether or not that happens or not, at least that's what they're saying today.
In fact, Senator Lankford's office called me just an hour before this call to say, to reassure people of that if there is enough demand that it eats up this $349 billion. Do you include K-1 income or 1099 income or distribution to the owner of the company in the payroll numbers, or do they need to apply separately?
You're limited to $100,000. So any distribution over $100,000 is not available for the inclusion. We would have to be able to document, as we've said before, I don't believe 1099 income is available under this program. We did just do a deal where the owners had salaries, tips, and wages that were paid to them, but they also got guaranteed distributions as part of their salary, and so we were able to add that guaranteed distribution back, limited to a total not to exceed $100,000.
And here's one. Would rural water districts be eligible for the staff that they have at a rural water district?
If it's a 501c3, yes.
Could you speak a little more about the sole proprietor without an actual payroll? How is their payroll calculated? And how does land rent paid on an annual basis work into the equation? Two different questions after I read them.
Okay.
One person. But
basically, on the proprietorship, we're going to be looking at their Schedule C, and then determining, in my view, what I'm going to take is the net income plus any non-cash expenses that they have in that transaction, such as depreciation, and to determine what their actual cash payment is that comes out to them, and determining it that way. And then, Rod, I went to sleep. I don't remember the second one.
The second one was about if a lot of farmers pay land rent on an annual basis.
Yeah.
I presume what you'd do is you'd take that and divide by 12 and
yep.
times two. Would that be the answer?
That's correct.
Okay. So just like you do the payroll, you'd take the rent and divide it to a monthly basis.
But it all comes to a monthly number, yes.
Okay. I think we kind of answered this earlier, but we keep getting questions on it. Can a business apply for both the PPP and the emergency disaster loan? Just to re-verify, in our opinion, they can apply for both programs.
Correct.
Right. As long as there's no duplication, you're not being funded for the exact same thing through both loans.
Okay. Here,
go ahead.
I think I know the answer to this next one, but can a municipality, this is someone who serves on a city council, a farmer that's also on a city council, he's asking, can their municipality apply?
Literally it writes in if it's a 501c3, you can. That's about the only exclusion that we have from the SBA.
Okay. Dottie, you'd mentioned earlier about a website for banks to upload, and I've gotten two questions now asking, saying I didn't ever let you say that website. So.
Okay, I sent it to Kent. I'm sorry, I didn't send it to you, Rod. I am so sorry.
Okay. If you'll send it to me too, we'll do a follow-up after this and send that out to all the, send it out to the attendees as well. But
this one's just
for the banks, just for banks.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can recognize which ones are banks that were on here. What of a sole proprietor? Well, let me ask on sole proprietors for a minute, because I'm getting lots of sole proprietor questions. Originally, in some of the early publicity, Kent and Dottie, there was talk about corporations and sub-S's and all would start applying today, and a week later there would be sole proprietors and independent contractors and so forth. But in the final rules, I didn't see any distinction. It's kind of everybody starts today. Is that how it's ended up?
Kent, I don't know the answer to that. Did you see anything?
And I can't remember either, Rod. For some reason, I believe that the independent contractors have got to wait 5 days.
Okay,
right.
So it isn't. It's still. It's. I just didn't see in those final rules that address.
Yeah, I think it is 5 days.
Yeah. So it's next Friday. I think it's five business days. So it's still.
Yeah.
It's next Friday for sole proprietors and independent contractors. Okay. Because I think part of that is they're trying to figure out how to deal. Several of the other questions is what happens if a sole proprietor had a loss last year, of a farm or ranch that's a
right.
Single.
And I think that's one of that's exactly why they're holding off, so that there may be some new rules written so that we can adjust accordingly.
Yeah, because there's lots of special issues for sole proprietor type operations. I'm getting lots of farms and ranches and small businesses are family operations. And sometimes they don't pay like every Monday or every Friday like other businesses. They pay when there's funds available to pay, and so, but it's still going to depend upon, it still goes back to whatever income they got for the year, even if they're family members and aren't paying on a regular schedule, it still go back to 12 months and divided to a monthly.
That's correct.
Okay. Wow, I can't believe all the questions people are sending in. I'm sorry.
If it makes you feel any better, guys, we ask our Bank First locations around the state to send us questions, and we had 7 legal sheets single-spaced with questions. So,
this is one I'll see if either of you know. If we apply for this, would it knock them out of the FSA disaster payments on the, which is an ag program? It's my understanding, see if you both agree, that the SBA program stands separate from any of the ag programs. So I don't think that I don't think participation in the SBA program would interfere with participation in an FSA program if their commodity or whatever is in a disaster situation. Are you all comfortable to say on that?
Yeah. Yes, I have not seen anything that would indicate that.
Right.
Here's another one about family members. If we have a family member that we hire part-time on the farm, can we use the previous pay paid during last year in the SBA loan?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the payroll that went out of the company.
Will the economic injury loan be available for side businesses that are petroleum related? So if somebody's been hit hard now with what's going on in the oil patch, and they, besides their farming operation, have are petroleum-related businesses eligible for the EIDL?
For the most part, yes.
Okay. Under the Triple P, the payroll protection, if you have 2 farmers that are operating as an LLC, they have a payroll for their employees, but they don't include themselves in the salary payroll. Can the LLC use the payroll for the employees plus the owner's share of the income below the $100,000 threshold for the payroll calculation?
I would say yes.
Okay. Is for the sole proprietor or owner, is the amount to use for their gross income or net income?
It's net income.
Okay. with for people that have multiple organizations or businesses with the same authorized signatures, how do you fill out the form? You just have to fill out a separate form for each organization, even if it's the same person signing, wouldn't you?
Yes, and I will tell you that what they're going to have to be ready to do is provide information on what the SBA calls affiliate businesses. So if you own 20% or more of a business, a separate business, you're going to have to disclose that business on the application form.
Okay. What if you own a packing plant that started operating in February 1st of this year? Can you show your current payroll, since you'll have no history from last year, and qualify for the loan?
Yes.
I think February 15th. You have to be operating by February 15th, don't you, Kent?
Yeah, I think it's something like that. I'm trying to get here.
We promised to get everybody off it, and we got 5 minutes.
I'm gonna have to double check that one. It's in there.
I'm pretty sure it only applies to businesses that they had to be in operation by February 15th.
Yeah. And there's a time frame that you take. It's basically 30 days worth of payroll that they're going to use at that point. And Rod, I saw this deal. You know, we talked about small businesses and sole proprietorships can apply starting April 3, starting April 10. I don't know the difference between this. It says independent contractors and self-employed individuals. I don't know what the difference is between a self-employed individual and a sole proprietor.
Pretty fine line, actually.
Yeah.
It's my understanding that they're working on some separate rules is the reason for the 1 week delay on a couple of those.
Right, I agree.
That they're working up some separate rules to deal with when a business, when it's a sole proprietor, that often those are pretty volatile businesses that can and have some special circumstances. So I think that's why.
That's a nice way to say it. Yeah.
I think there's some more rules to come there.
Okay.
What about farmers and ranchers that are sole owners with no payroll, but we still have rent, leases, utilities at the farm, feed and fuel, but they are only getting Social Security for income? First time I've had that question.
Yeah. It's based on the income generated by the business.
Okay. And then again, would be divided by 12 and to a monthly.
Right. Okay. Yep.
Right.
Okay. I mean, the questions are coming in faster than I can ask them, but hopefully we've given everybody a good taste. We promised to wrap things up by 4 o'clock. So I want to especially take time to. I think it's likely that if we can impose on Kent and Dottie in another week or 10 days to maybe do one more of these after we know more on the sole proprietor, private contractor, and then we can maybe follow up with additional questions. But what wonderful guests they've been. And today is like they're so swamped today. You all have no idea the phone calls and how hard it's even been to get a hold of them today. For the two of them to give an hour to all of us to answer questions, I can't say thank you enough on behalf of Oklahoma Farm Bureau and all those that are listening in. And I'll give each of you a chance for any final wrap-up thoughts you've got. Dottie, ladies first, do you want to share any final thoughts you've got for us as we wrap up?
Well, I just thank you for the opportunity to share this information.
Thank you, Dottie. You're special.
And same thing for me. Thank you. We see lots of businesses, lots of people around the state. Everybody is hurting in some form or fashion. Everybody's been affected. So at least here at the bank, we're trying everything we can to get these dollars out as quickly as we can to keep this thing moving along.
Just as to remind everybody, there's probably 100,000 entities in our state or some number over that are eligible to apply for this. And this, like I said at the start, it's rare that there's a forgivable loan or a grant that's a real true deal. But this truly is the government's going into uncharted territories here, trying to figure out a way to keep the economy from from crashing around us and trying to keep our small businesses and farms and ranches alive. And so this is a very important tool, but this support, the personal support of the $1,200 check to each individual and for $500 for each child, that's coming without you taking any action. But this, to get this Payroll Protection Act assistance, you have to take action. You have to reach out to your bank or credit union. And so we encourage each of you to get involved, take action to help get this to get these dollars working in our economy. So thank you all so much for tuning in today. We'll keep working this issue at Oklahoma Farm Bureau and try to keep you posted. And our thanks again to Dottie Overall from SBA and to Kent Fison from Bank First, and appreciate so much their involvement today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Over and out.
Bye-bye.
Bye.